Hello, friends, and welcome to the Coastline Baptist Church podcast. We hope this message will equip, encourage, and edify you in your journey of life. We'd love to connect with you. Please email us at info@coastlinecc.org. And for more information about our church and our services, visit coastlinecc.org. Now let's open our hearts and open God's Word. You see it in the little boy in line at the amusement park. And the line just keeps getting longer and longer, and he just wants to ride that ride. You see it in the new mom rocking the crying baby at 2 a.m. Lindsay knows what I'm talking about. You see it in the brand new business owner who has been pushing towards opening day for their business, and the day has finally arrived. They unlock the doors. They turn the sign around. We are open. You see it in that. You see it in the young couple in their last few weeks of engagement, almost wedding time. You see it in the doctor's office as you wait for the doctor to come back to the room with the test results. All of us know what it feels like to wait. We know what it feels like to wait. Life often brings seasons of waiting. And sometimes with that waiting comes disappointment. And in that disappointment that we get from waiting, there's a lot of uncertainty that we experience in our lives, in our hearts, and in our minds in these seasons of waiting. But in 1 Samuel chapter 1, we are reminded, and this is the sermon today, we are reminded that God's timing is perfect. And that's the message today in our I Believe series. I believe that God's timing is always perfect. If you have your Bibles today, would you go to 1 Samuel chapter 1. If you need a Bible, there should be some under your seat. 1 Samuel chapter 1. You can use your phone, whatever you want. Let's everybody try to be looking. I'm reading the whole chapter, so instead of having a bunch of tiny words on the screen, I'd rather have you turn into the Word of God this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 1. I think we have someone that just got here. I wanted to say this, and they're probably going to need a seat, and I would hate for them to have to come sit in the front row. So if you have a space available in the second or back row when they come in, we'll all look at them and cheer. No, we won't do that at all. But I'll embarrass them, but we make sure we don't have to have her walking up to the front. 1 Samuel chapter 1, and we'll read in just a moment. Seasons of waiting. I don't like to wait. You don't like to wait. But consider the process of planting a seed. When you put a seed in the ground, you wouldn't it be great? Okay, we've gardened a little bit. My wife loves to garden. We've done the flower gardens. We've done the veggie gardens. It would be amazing if you could just put a green bean seed in the pot or in the garden box, go to bed, and the next morning wake up and you got hundreds of green beans ready to cook. Or you put, you know, a flower in the ground, a seed in the ground, and you water it once, you go to bed, and you wake up, and suddenly, you know, you got a beautiful garden already. It doesn't work like that. You sow it, you water it, and you patiently wait for that seed to sprout and blossom into something beautiful. And although you can't see the progress underneath the surface in the soil there, something is going on. Every moment of that seed and that seedling is essential for its development. And that's kind of how it is for us when we have to wait. 1 Samuel 1 tells the true factual story of Hannah. And Hannah's story teaches us how to trust God even when we don't understand His delays. Hannah's life and story in 1 Samuel 1 and chapter 2 teach us how we can trust God even when we don't understand His timing. Through her journey, we see, and we will see, that God is never late. God is never late, but he is always working for his purpose. Let's look at the first verse together, and we'll read a few scriptures. 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 1. We'll break it down as we go through. There's going to be a lot of big city names and names that I'm probably going to mess up, so just bear with me. 1 Samuel 1:1. Now there was a certain man of, and here's the first one, Ramathaim Zophim. That's pretty good, right? Of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zoph, an Ephrathite. And he had two wives. Now, before you go saying, wow, what's going on here? This guy has two wives? Polygamy was very, very common in the Old Testament, but I'm going to say this. Although it was tolerated, it was never approved by God. The scripture, in Genesis 2, it says, two people become one flesh. So although polygamy was common in the Old Testament, that's not an excuse to say that it's okay or right or that that's okay now. The reason that many men had more than one wife and beyond two, sometimes had three or four or five, was so they could bear many children. Children was a symbol, a status symbol and a sign of wealth in the Old Testament. And also many people, many men would go off to battle and die. So their mindset was, oh, well, we don't want one woman to be a widow and have to and be destitute. They had all their reasons and justifications, but God never approved it. So understand that as we read this story. He had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other, Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. Hannah was barren. And her husband Elkanah, being a good man, knew that she already felt bad about not being able to bear children, considering at the time for women that was what they were supposed to do. And she felt her worth in that. And you have this other wife who's having all these kids and she has none. And her husband decides to give her a worthy portion or a double portion and let her know that she's still loved and cared about even though she has no children. And some people here today may understand Hannah's trial. You may understand Hannah's heartache. And I want to say this as a side note that although you may understand Hannah's trial here, believe and trust that God is for you and that you are loved and you are perfect the way that God has made you. And trust that this church and this pastor and we stand with you and we love you. And Hannah felt the pain and sorrow of this. Look what it says in verse number 7. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Sorry, let's read verse 6. I skipped verse 6. And her adversary also provoked her sore. And that's talking about the other wife, Peninnah. That when the husband, Elkanah, would go to the temple to do his minister duties, this other wife, Peninnah, who had the children, would ridicule and really cut down Hannah, who had no children. For to make her fret, to make her miserable, because the Lord has shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore, she wept and did not eat. So this other wife would insult and ridicule her and make her feel bad about her barrenness. And Hannah was so upset and brokenhearted and miserable that she would weep. She wouldn't eat. Verse 8, then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, Hannah, why weepest thou? Why eatest thou not? Why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? And he's just trying to make her feel better. We see in these first 8 verses, when it comes to this message about the timing of God being perfect, that number one, God's timing is not always our timing. God's timing is not always our timing. Hannah longed for a child. She longed for a child. For years, she was barren while this other wife, Peninnah, provoked her. despite her suffering, God had a purpose in his delay. God had a purpose in his timing that didn't make sense to Hannah. Sometimes God's delays are not denials, but preparation for something greater. God's delays are not always denials, but they're preparation for God to do something bigger. We can go back 4.5 years or so, and we had started the church. God was blessing, and it was time for us to look for a building to have church. And at that time, we were in our home, in an in-law apartment at our house, having service, and it was going great, but we knew we had to take the next step. And I remember a realtor letting us know about a business that was for lease, and it was in South Yarmouth, right across from the Long Pond Stop and Shop. And there's that little plaza across with the convenience store and the gun store, and there was a middle unit that was available for lease. So me and Dan actually went over there with the realtor and walked through, and I remember walking through and being like, this place is perfect. They got beautiful hardwood floor. Right when you walk in the door, there's a little room that would be a perfect nursery with a little window you could see in. And then there's a classroom. And then you walk around the corner, there's a bathroom. But then there's a big open room. It used to be a dance studio, so there's a big open room. And I'm like, oh my goodness, I could see the chair set up. I could see the platform. I could see the pulpit. I could see people in there worshiping. Oh, and I just had vision. I'm like, this is going to be great. This is perfect. The price seemed good too. So we got an architect that came in. And he actually drew up plans that we needed for permits and occupancy and things like that. And things were moving. And I put up Facebook Live videos and on of our church Facebook page and said, man, God's given us this space. I believe it. It's going to be great. We're going to be in there soon. And we had a contractor come in, kind of the last step to kind of give us how much it was going to cost to add a second bathroom. We were going to take a bathroom from the convenience store, which had two, and just kind of redo some things. And he came, and I know you were with me for that one. And every minute that went by in that meeting with the contractor seemed to get worse and worse. He's like, well, this, we're going to have to do this too. That'll be this. And oh, we're going to have to do this too. And I'm thinking, man, this doesn't sound as good. We already have blueprints. We're ready to go. And it started to go from $10,000 to $20,000 to $30,000. And I'm like, oh my goodness, like just for this. Really, we knew we weren't going to be there forever, and I'm thinking, man, this is a lot of money. The convenience store owner was getting annoyed that we were going to be kind of cutting into his space, and I'm like, my goodness. And all that happened the first week of March 2020. So not only did the building start to fall through, but a week later, the entire country shut down, and we couldn't do anything anyway. And I remember thinking, God, what are you doing? Like, this place seemed perfect. I had vision for this place. Man, we're trying to build some momentum here. God, you called me here to plant Coastline. Why is this happening? And little did I know that God has something much bigger, literally bigger, in his plans. God's delays are not always denials, but oftentimes those seasons of waiting, God is working in us to do something greater. Some of you right now are in a season of waiting, in that delay period. And I challenge you to trust that God knows what he is doing, even when life seems unfair and difficult. You must choose to trust his timing. You will experience delays. You will experience unmet expectations. And in those times, you must choose to embrace the wait. Embrace the wait as a time, a season of growth and preparation. Looking back now, I can see what God was doing. He was increasing my faith as a brand new pastor. I believe he was increasing the faith of our church. Because not just a few months later, after that fell apart, a different realtor said, I think I got a space for you. And she said, it's over across from Captain Parker's. And I remember coming and looking in the windows. We didn't have the keys to the doors. And we looked in the windows and saw a big, empty, rundown place. But that same vision that I felt before was even in a greater way. And here we sit today. God's delays are not always his denials. God, right now, for some of you, is trying in this season of waiting to shape your character, to change you, to make you more like him. And you must trust that his timing is perfect. Let's read on verse 9. So Hannah, after her husband says, "Why are you crying? Listen, it's going to be all right." Verse 9, Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And that word bitterness doesn't necessarily mean that she was bitter at God, but just means that her heart was so broken. She was so torn. She was so brokenhearted. She prayed and wept sore. Verse 11, and she vowed a vow and said this in her prayer, "O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head." And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. He saw her in the distance praying. In verse 13, now Hannah spake. She spake in her heart. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. So she was kind of praying to herself, but mouthing the words. Therefore, Eli, this priest, thought that she was drunken. He thought she was drunk, because she's praying so passionately. And the second thought this morning is, yes, God's timing is not always our timing, but God hears, in those times of waiting, God hears our desperate prayers. In her deep anguish, Hannah went to the temple, poured out her heart bitterly to the Lord, and made a vow and said, "God, if you give me a child that I'm begging you for, I promise I will give it back to you." And this moment shows God honors sincere, faith-filled prayers. He hears our prayers. He hears your prayers. When facing struggles, which some of you are right now, take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. There's a great old song that we sing called "Leave It There." I can trust and never doubt. You will surely bring me out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Honest, persistent prayer. Coming soon, there's going to be a message, "I believe in the power of prayer." And that's not today. But God hears our prayer. Prayer changes things. Dedicate regular time in your life for prayer. How many of you right now, as a Christian, as a child of God, have dedicated time in your day to talk to God? You see, what often happens, by the way, if you're looking at me to be the example of this, I wish I had a better prayer life. I strive for a strong prayer life, but guess what? I'm busy just like you. I work full time. My wife works full time. I'm driving kids back and forth to school. All the excuses in the world I could use, and none are good enough. We must be people of prayer. We must be Christians that pray and that seek the face of God and seek the heart of God. You must dedicate time for prayer, especially when life feels overwhelming. And may we approach the throne of God with boldness, as it says in the New Testament, just like Hannah. Hannah, before the Lord, weeping tears of sorrow, begging God. Go to God with that same earnestness, with that same heart. You know, we live in a culture that likes to keep all of our problems to ourselves. And even though God already knows our hearts, some of you even like to keep that stuff from God, like He doesn't already know. And in your prayers, you don't like to bring up the feelings that you're feeling and the things you're experiencing. Your prayers end up becoming very shallow and very kind of liturgical, and you're just kind of regurgitating what you've heard at church. Instead of being real with God, instead of being honest with God, instead of being open with God, who already knows everything you're facing and feeling, we just pray how we think we're supposed to sound instead of praying from our hearts. Anna was real with God, wasn't she? It's time to get real with God. To openly share what you're struggling with. There have been times I've had to tell God, like, "Lord," this was, a few years ago, after the Lord gave us this beautiful building, our landlord decided to sell our house, and I remember it was just constant back and forth of trying to figure out what we're going to do, and everything seemed to be just a mess, and God had provided a winter rental for us, and many of you already know that. But at the end of that winter rental in the spring, we had still nowhere to go, and We did all the things that we could do in our own strength. We looked, we searched, we looked online, we called, we saved up money. We did everything we could to try to find a place to live with my wife and our four children. And it just wasn't coming together. And I remember finally driving my truck with the boys after picking them up from school. And it was, we were just weeks away from having to move out of the winter rental and still did not have a place. We had heard of a place and talked to a landlord of a house out in Brewster that seemed like it was going to be perfect. And she said, "I'm so sorry. There's already someone that has accepted, you know, the house and they're going to be moving in. We're just waiting on their down payment." And I'm like, oh my goodness. Like, I thought that was it. And we were just kind of left. It felt like we were left out to dry. And I'm like, man, Lord, what are you doing? I remember sitting in the truck. It was a misty, dreary type day. And I drove up the road to that winter rental up to where the water was, because it was right by the water. And I said, Lord, I was almost tired of praying because I had felt I prayed so much and not seen an answer. I was in a season of waiting and it was killing me. So I have a wife to take care of and children to take care of. And I remember sitting there saying, God, you got to take care of your kids because I got nothing left, man. I got nothing left. I said, that's your daughter. Those are your kids. And I said, Lord, you've got to do something because I got nothing left. It was a prayer of desperation, probably one of the biggest prayers of desperation I've ever prayed. And it wasn't just a few days later that the same landlord called and we were talking and she said, hey, and my wife, bless my wife, we had prayed the night before and she had said, God, help these people to back out of this house. Help them to realize that it's just a husband and wife. They have no kids. They don't need four bedrooms. Help them to just back out and go rent somewhere, you know, we were going to rent. Help them to back out and go buy a house somewhere. And again, the landlord already told us multiple times that they were literally just waiting on down payment. They had done everything else. And the next day, the landlord called and said, hey, they backed out and they decided to buy. So if you want the house, it's yours. And I'm telling you, immediately on the phone, I just started to weep and say, God did it. God did it. God did it. He hears our desperate prayers. And although I hated the waiting, it was not comfortable at all. I'm so glad I have that story of the faithfulness of God. God hears our desperate prayers. And he heard the prayer of Hannah. Look at verse 14. Here, Eli the priest thinks that she's drunk. She's praying so passionately. He's like, this lady's crazy. Verse 14 of 1 Samuel 1, Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from me. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I'm a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not mine handmaid for a daughter of Belial or a daughter of the devil. For out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. She's like, I'm praying from a broken heart. Verse number 17, then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife. They were intimate together. And the Lord remembered her. Verse 20, wherefore it came to pass when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived that she bare a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. The name Samuel literally means name of God, but it's heard as heard from God. And God answered the prayer of Hannah. And we see the next thought in these scriptures that God's timing brings the best results. God's timing brings the best results. Hannah, Eli thought she was drunk. He misunderstood her. But she was praying passionately, and Eli blessed her. And in time, in God's time, he answered her prayer, gave birth to Samuel, who became one of Israel's greatest prophets. We're reading from the book of 1 Samuel. And there's another one, 2 Samuel. Had Hannah received a child earlier, it may not have been the one that God had chosen for a greater purpose. God's timing brings the best results when we wait on God's timing and instead of trying to do it all by ourselves and figure it all out. When we wait on God's timing, He gives us what is best, not just what we think that we need. Oh, I've been guilty of that so many times. I get tired of waiting just like you, and I try to figure it out. And I work really hard, and sometimes people get steamrolled in the process just so I can get things figured out. When if I just waited on God's timing, He would have given me what is best. Some of you this morning need to identify that area in your life where you feel rushed or you feel frustrated by delays. And instead of giving into impatience, which is our natural instinct, to commit to waiting faithfully on God. Some of us are so impatient that when delays come in life, oh, it doesn't just like make us, oh, I wish, we get like annoyed by it. And in our annoyance, we just try to do everything else, try to figure things out, have a bunch of things in the ready to go, and instead of just waiting on God and letting Him lead. God's timing brings the best results. I just mentioned the house in Brewster. That was God that did that. That was God that did that. And you know what? We had to wait till the very last minute. Every time we have lived in a house on the Cape, from the first one on Trader's Lane to the winter rentals to the one in Brewster, every one of them has been a last minute miracle of God. And that can feel like it gets like, wow, like I'm no wonder I'm getting some gray hair finally. Lord, you keep me waiting the last minute. But listen, that's the way that God had to do something in my life. And guess what? This past summer, in that same house in Brewster, I got to baptize 3 people in the backyard at that house. I've been able to disciple people at the kitchen table at that house. My brother and sister were married in the backyard, a beautiful backyard wedding at that house. A couple months back, right down the road from our house, it was a little tiny private beach that I had never heard of until we moved there. I got to baptize my brother, Sean, in Point of Rocks Beach. I almost got carried off to sea by those waves, right? All these little miracles and little blessings that God gave us as a result of a season of waiting. Painful waiting. Fearful waiting. God's timing, though, brings the best result. And let's finish the chapter off, verse 21. And the man Elkanah, after she had got her son and all his house, went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will, when he was older, then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. And Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, do what seemeth thee good, tarry until thou hast weaned him, only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. She was still breastfeeding, was still very young. And as he got older, in verse 24, when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, with 3 bullocks, 1 ephah of flour, a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. This is all these Old Testament sacrifices of worship. That's what all these things mean, the flour and everything else. Verse 26, and she said, Hannah said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here, praying unto the Lord. This is what she's speaking to Eli the priest, who thought she was drunk in prayer. She goes, I'm the one that you saw praying there. Verse 26. Verse 27, for this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord, and he worshipped the Lord there. God's blessings should lead to worship. The blessings that come from us waiting on the timing of God should lead to worship. And that's exactly what Hannah did after Samuel was born and ready to go. She brought him back to the temple where she had made that promise, where she had made that vow, and gave her son to the Lord and dedicated him to the Lord's service. Instead of holding on to that blessing selfishly, she gave it back to God in gratitude. True faith recognizes that everything we receive comes from God and should be used for His glory. Every talent you possess, every ability you have, every resource that you possess, everything that has come into our lives, every blessing is from God and should be used for His glory. You are children of God. You're saved by the blood of Christ. He has blessed you above and beyond measure. And we must give back to Him. God's blessing should lead to worship. When God blesses you, do you respond in true worship? When God blesses you, when God provides for you, when God does something in your life that's a blessing, do you respond in worship? Do you respond in obedience? Do you respond in generosity? God's blessing should lead us to worship. When you receive a blessing, no matter how big or small, you must respond with sincere worship. What happens to us oftentimes is we get so used to blessings because we live such blessed lives that we become callous to the blessings of God. Or in worst cases, we think that the blessings we receive in our lives are because of our well-being and because of our doing instead of giving God the glory. It's time, church, to get back to recognizing that everything good in my life is because of God. Not because of me. Yeah, but I work a lot of hours. You work a lot of hours because God gives you the strength to work a lot of hours. Yeah, but I did this. Everything that we can do is because God gives us the free will to do it. And He blesses us with strength and health to do it. God's blessing should lead to true worship. To true worship. And lastly is this. Verse 27, Hannah says, "For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord." And he worshiped the Lord there. In chapter 2, it says, "And Hannah prayed and said, My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumbled are girded with strength." And on, verse 4 and 5 and 6, she's praying and praising God. Verse 7, she said, "The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up." Verse 8, "He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he hath set the world upon them." She is praising God and worshiping God. Verse number 9, "He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king and exalt the horn of his anointed." Verse 11, "And Elkanah went to Ramah to his house, and the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest." And if we had time, we could go through the life of Samuel and how God used Samuel as a prophet to his people. And the last point is this: God's perfect timing doesn't just impact us, but it impacts future generations. Samuel became a prophet who led Israel. He anointed both King Saul and King David. Hannah's faith and trust in God's timing didn't just affect and influence her immediate life of wanting a child, although it did, but it influenced the entire nation of Israel. And today, this morning, we're talking about the life of Hannah, a woman who trusted God's timing. In church, when we trust God's timing, your obedience can have a lasting impact on others, even beyond your lifetime, when you decide to trust God. Well, what kind of legacy do you want to leave? Think about that. Parents today, I think about my boys, I was studying this, I think about my kids. Man, What do I want my kids? I want my kids to remember. Obviously, I want to know that I look back and say, Dad was fun. He was fun. He was funny. He loved Mom. He treated Mom with respect. He loved Mom. But beyond all that, I want my kids, I want my boys to grow up and say, Dad loved Jesus. Life wasn't always easy. Listen, they're not going to forget all the times we've had to move, packing up their rooms and things like that. But to say, Dad had faith in God, even when it was tough. And he trusted God, and he spoke about God, and he praised God in our house. What kind of legacy do you want to leave? Some of you, like we said earlier, we don't like to share how we feel in seasons of waiting, like if we're having a hard time, but you don't understand the power that your words have and that your story has in the lives of others. God has people in your life that he wants you to share your journey of waiting because they're struggling too. Because they're in a season of waiting too and they don't know what to do, but if they only knew the faith that God has given you, the grace that God has given you in your season of waiting, in your delays, and you could say, you know what? It's tough. I didn't like it either, but God has blessed my life and God has given me grace for the waiting. When you actively invest in the people in your life, God changes lives and he wants to use you to impact other people. Your trust in God's timing can serve as a powerful testimony to inspire others to wait on him too. So quit keeping it to yourself. Your life, your story can have an impact. Hannah's story teaches us that even in seasons of waiting and seasons of pain, God is working. His timing is never wrong. There's a song called Waymaker, and it says, even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. His timing is never wrong, but it's always perfect. If you are waiting for an answer from God, can I challenge you? Take heart. Don't try to rush it. Don't try to figure it out by yourself. But just wait. Just trust him. Pray persistently, yes. Prayers of desperation are not wrong prayers. Pray persistently. Trust his plan. Ask God, God, what are you trying to teach me in this season of waiting? Worship him in the waiting. Some of you walked into church this morning in a season of waiting, in a painful season of waiting, and you had the opportunity to say, when I fight, I'll fight on my knees with my hands lifted high. You got to sing, hey, you said it. I believe it. You said it. It's done. God, move the immovable, break the unbreakable. Worship in your waiting. His answer will come at the right time, in the right way, and for his perfect purpose. We left Michigan, and all those last few months in Michigan when I was a youth pastor getting ready to come out and plant the church, I'd pray with my boys, and then we moved back and traveled the country and got support for this church, and we'd pray, and we'd pray and ask God to bless. I remember praying, Lord, bless all the people that are going to come one day to our church. We didn't have, the church wasn't even open yet. It wasn't even started. I said, Lord, there's people that are going to come to Coastline, I hope, and bless them. Begin even now to prepare their heart. Begin even now to work in their lives. And as I think about Hannah, who said to Eli, she came back to the temple with little Samuel and said, hey, for this child, I prayed. And here he is, and I'm giving him back. And I began to think of all the prayers that my family prayed not just me and my wife, but my family that prayed, God, bless Coastline, and God, start it and help us to see people. And I think of people like Dan, who God led me to Dan at a park with his son. Been coming to our church for 3 years, I got to baptize him. I think of God bringing us Sean, who just was on a contract job from Mississippi, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I got to baptize him this summer. I think of God bringing all of you here to this church. And I think, man, like Hannah, for this child I prayed, say, hey, for this church I prayed. For these people I prayed. That God would bring them. That God would stir their souls. That God would change their lives. That God would heal their families. That God would bless their children. That God would provide their needs. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. And to see God now doing something in this place. Doing something in an old back building off of 28 across from the Pirate Museum. That God would work miracles in this place. It used to be a billiards hall. People would come over here and just shoot pool and have a good time. And now God is doing miracles in this place. You can trust God's timing. You can wait on Him. And I promise, oh, the best life you can live is a life that decides to wait on God. Man, I can look around and just see what God has done in all of your lives. I love it. Man, I love it. But I want you to keep trusting. I want you to keep waiting. Psalm 27 says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And I know you're tired of waiting. I know you're tired of waiting. I get it. I'm with you. But keep waiting. Worship in your waiting. Trust Him. Go back. Remember what God's done for you in those seasons of waiting. Thank you again for listening to the Coastline Baptist Church podcast. We hope the message was an encouragement to your heart. Please connect with us through our website, coastlinecc.org, or on Facebook or Instagram. Send us a message, send us an email, and we'd love to connect with you. We'd also love if you could visit us for a Sunday morning service. You can find our address on our website, and our services start at 10 a.m. Our mission at Coastline is simply this: to know Jesus deeply and to show Jesus daily. I hope that we've helped you do that in your life today. Thanks again, and we'll see you next week.